All right, folks, I'm Frank Ablawi with Nonproductive. It is my great pleasure to finally, like 2 months after they premiered on the network, introduce to you the Playable Characters podcast. Hooray for everyone. This is where we would have a huge applause break, but we often have to make our own cheers, which is really sad. I'm joined, not at all in studio, by Brian McGinnis,
PCS Calvagato,
and
Nonproductive and PCS.
And not at all Dala Patel. Yeah, the three wonderful hosts of everyone's favorite podcast about comedians interviewing comedians, but only their video game characters. I love your show, guys. It is one of my favorites to listen to. I loved it even before you joined our network and I was contractually obligated to like it. It's a genius concept. Working in the video game industry on my end, where we have to, you know, do videos and stuff for the like big entertainment conglomerates, it's really hard to find anything that isn't annoying about video games. The people listening to this probably know what I'm talking about. If you ever go into like GameStop and you hear the automated kind of commercial of millennials talking excitedly about a video game, it's like, I can't, this feels like a commercial, but you guys are actually interesting. I like listening to you.
Thanks.
That's the biggest podcast compliment you can get, I think.
That's literally the biggest compliment any comedian will ever have. So thank you very much.
You're better than a commercial. Hooray.
I mean, you know, that's honestly why we did this, because me, Calvin, and Olive, who couldn't be with us today, rest his peace. Mm-hmm.
This is how we're announcing the death of Olive, by the way. He's tragic.
He's in India. Yeah.
Also tragic.
But we had an idea. It was last, I want to say like March or April, so almost like coming upon a year ago, to do a video game podcast, but how can we make it different? And we're shooting off a million ideas. And Olive, who's our idea man, just kind of said, what if we interviewed video game characters, but like B-level character, like not the A-listers, but like, you know, B, C, and D-list characters. And we're like, that's a good idea. And the first one he said was, how about Bullet Bill? And then we said, how about Glass Joe? And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Pretty much. Like, originally we were going to have like, it was going to be several segments, but the whole idea of having just interviewing video game characters, something that was just so funny and so engaging in and of itself. And so the main thing we kept was we kept the video game character interviewing aspect, and then Wed, Bed, Dead, which is one of our big segments, where what we do is we pick three randomly generated characters and we pick which one you would marry, which one you would have sex with, and which one you would vote off the island. The island of life, basically.
Nice way of putting it. I like that.
So those two things, like, I feel like in general, it was a good generator of ideas, because there are so many video game characters and like also so many different directions that we could take it. So, you know, we've done things from like King Bowser to, you know, a fighting game location scout to like everything in between. And, you know, I just felt like it was like a nice outpouring of ideas. And it's just a lot better than a lot of video game podcasts where they just kind of report the news, which in general, like,
you can get anywhere.
You can get it anywhere. And also, you know, by the time we're putting out a podcast, all that news is already obsolete. So
you can get it anywhere and quicker. It's like, see, let me produce this video so that everyone can see it, or this podcast, so everyone can hear it a week or after the news is already broken. Everyone's done complaining about it. And, you know, you guys get a lot of great guests on the show. How do you find all these wonderful characters? Like, where do you get a hold of them? Is there an IMDb pro for video game stars?
We just reach out to their agents. We reach out to the Underworld Network and the NetherRealm Police Department. I guess, I don't know. And we just see if we can get them on. A lot of them reach out to us, too, and they want to tell their story. We had people like, I need to tell my story, like Pauline from Donkey Kong. You know, she wanted to tell us what's going on, and she made a renaissance, so to speak, lately with Mario Odyssey. She's back in that, so she wanted to tell her story before that came out.
It is the year of the woman. It is the year of the woman. She needs to tell her story,
So we just reach out to them, and or vice versa. And we're always welcome to have anybody on. You know, Paperboy, we shockingly got him. He's a legend in the industry. You know, he's still doing it. He goes by the Paper King now. And, good stuff.
So do you have to, like, keep notes of all the ridiculous things that have been established, like Paper King, in your podcast? Have you ever
we're usually actually pretty good with continuity, which is very surprising considering one of us is a drunk and that's me. I feel like in general, like, we usually manage to keep the story straight, and there are times where we'll have like other guests come on and we'll be able to mention things from like previous podcasts. And, you know, a lot of our guests are, you know, up to, obviously they're up to speed with their own lives and with the lives of their other characters, so it works out up pretty well and seamlessly.
And sometimes it seems like Mario is a trending theme in a lot of this universe, and he's not very well liked. So we've gotten dirt on him from a lot of different guests, and they all kind of know, you know, his path and what he's done over the years. So yeah. That's been interesting to kind of follow.
There's definitely a tall poppy thing going on with Mario, where he's too popular, too big to fail, and everybody has a gripe to pick with him. And I think right now, so.
Too big to fail is a very, very accurate statement for Mario.
On the flip side of this, obviously, how do you find the comics that guest on your show, and how do you pair them up with the characters that they're portraying? With JL as Bowser, I have to feel like that just sort of came like, well, clearly you got to be Bowser as a maybe we'll say a thinly veiled impression of a certain popular air quotes politician. So how does that come about?
Obviously we're super lucky to have all these amazing friends that are comedians and very talented actors and improvisers and things like that. So we'll ask them if they want to do it, or they ask us, which is always nice. And then we'll be like, what kind of games do you play? Do you play games? What do you like? And we'll just sort of go from there. We each kind of have knowledge in different genres of games. I would think like Calvin's our fighting game expert, so to speak, you know. So we just kind of see what they like, what they would want to do, and we'll bounce some ideas back and forth. And then once we settle on a character, we don't want to know anything else. Like, we don't want any spoilers. So everything is completely ad-libbed and improvised. I'm not sure if you or your listeners knew that. Everything is completely off script, and it's that's why I think it's so fun. And when we giggle, I think that's the funnest part of it, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll just kind of see what they want to do and, you know, go from there.
Yeah, exactly. I've had some guests on who, like, don't know as much, per se, and in which case, like, we always send them, like, here's some information, like, or some background about the character. And a lot of people, a lot of comics tend to take initiative on their own, and they're like, okay, that's cool, I'm going to do all this research on my own. Or they really fall in love with the character, and they take it in different directions that we don't expect. So it's always a fun time.
Yeah.
Awesome. The gatekeeper question, right? I'm going to ask this to prove that you guys are real geeks. I'm sure there's a lot of video game fans who've stumbled upon this, not just the comedy fans. How did you get your start in video games? What is the first video game you remember loving, or what really got you into the whole subgenre?
Ooh, Brian, you want to start first?
I remember my brother's friend having a Nintendo when I was, I guess, 4, you know, and then we eventually got one. And I've been a gamer my entire life, since, I guess, 6 years old, since I got a Nintendo. You know, if you see my house, I have tons of systems, tons of games. I have a lot of stuff. I like playing. That's my escape, because unlike Calvin, I'm not a drunk, so that's my hobby. It's just kind of playing games and everything. My claim to fame is I beat Battletoads without Game Genie. And I'm very proud of that.
Wow. So, nice. What are you doing comedy?
Work that into any conversation.
Every conversation I have to people know.
Why are you doing comedy? I mean, you could just, can't you go pro?
I should tour the world with that. Yeah. Just doing TED Talk on Battletoads. Battletids. I've just always loved games. I think, it is, people like my wife, who doesn't play games at all, ask me, how do you guys know so much about so many characters? I'm like, good question. 30 years of doing this, I guess, of just playing games. You kind of build up a little Rolodex of information there.
Is it weird that people seem to be complimenting you on things that you would have considered shameful even a few months ago?
I mean, it's fun. I mean, like you said, we have fans from all over the world. We have people in Japan, people in Europe, like, messaging us, and it feels great, you know, because we obviously don't know them. They found the podcast through some type of means, and it's been great hearing feedback from them. People that we're not bugging on a consistent Facebook basis, like, hey, friends, check this out. It's just random people that are really digging the podcast, you know?
So it's cool. All right, Calvin, you're up.
And for me, well, I actually have been playing like pretty much all my life. Like I started playing when I was 6 years old. My older brother was also into games, so that was like kind of my gateway into it. And I bought, like, I still have a working like Game Boy, like, you know, the original like big gray clunky one from 1989. And so I've always played since then. From Game Boy, Nintendo, Super Nintendo. I still own way too many old systems, but I can't get rid of them. I've only gotten rid of one game system, which is a Dreamcast, which made me very sad. But yeah, like, Yeah. R.I.P. that Dreamcast. It was so good. But yeah, like in general, like I've always had a passion for video games, and like it kind of ebbed and flowed. Like I think when I was in college, I kind of like wasn't playing as much just because I didn't have as much time. And then for a while I was moving around a lot, so I wasn't really gaming as much as I used to. And then I got my own place, and so I just kind of started back up again. And for me, video games was just always like a fun, it was just a nice like release and a good way to kind of like escape the real world. And I was a big fighting game fan. Like since I was like 6 years old, I would play Street Fighter 2 and like arcades, and like I played Mortal Kombat, stuff like that. And for me, like, it's just a nice like release and a nice way to like get out aggression and stuff. So which there's a lot of so
you're so angry.
Yeah. I mean, you, no one is able to tell, but there's a lot of like pent up rage that goes like towards Guile and Guile alone.
Specifically, I thought you were like real world. Like, so you get your rage out of video games. You're like,
yes, oh,
I do. Don't care about politics or anything. It's just Guile. God, he gets me. Oh, that guy.
Well, he's just like a very symbol of white privilege, you know? So like, I just feel like it's just a safe outlet.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally on board with this thesis. All right. So this is a long shot. I didn't ask you about this beforehand, but you say you have a lot of fans who you're not necessarily familiar with, or you didn't know them personally beforehand, that it's at the show's picking up steam. Have you ever gotten a note or a message from a fan that says, you know, I like your show, whatever, but the way you presented this one character is wrong? Has that ever happened?
It hasn't. You know what? Oh, it actually hasn't.
That's got to be the brass ring.
maybe it'll happen one day, but I think, people are going to go on and be like, that's actually not how Toadstool sounds. If they get mad at that, then, you know, they have other problems, I think. Oh. It's just supposed to be fun and sit back for 35, 45 minutes and just giggle with us, you know?
The day somebody messaged you and saying, no, that's not how Iggy Bowser would act, that's when you know you've made it. That's when you've gotten broad appeal where even the lunatics are listening. That would be awesome.
Right.
All right.
And that's kind of a cool thing. Like, we did Lance from Contra, and this very funny comic, Aaron Camino Smith, played him. Not as you'd expect, actually. So if you hear that episode, you probably wouldn't expect that was Lance from Contra. But I love the takes that and the freedom the comics have to do whatever they want with the character, you know? That's one of the funny things that we get to see kind of just organically happen right in front of us, because we don't know where it's going a lot of times. That's, I think, probably one of our favorite parts of doing this.
Cool, cool. So we're going to wrap this up, make it quick, so people could actually maybe download a few episodes if they haven't listened to the show yet. How do we find out more about you guys? Your personal Twitter handles or whatever you like, share that so that people could come to fabulous New York City and watch you perform live.
Go for it, Kelvin.
Live at all the clubs and colleges. And my website is calvincato.com. So people can check me out there. I'm updating my calendar right now, and I'm just doing a bunch of stuff around the city. My Twitter is at Cato Calvin. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, in theory. And I'm also on Snapchat, also in theory. And both of those are Calvin S. Cato. And Brian, take it away.
Yeah, our podcast, at most things, we're at Playable Podcast on Twitter, Instagram. Our email is at Gmail, playablepodcast@gmail. So feel free to chat with us on there. We get a lot of Twitter stuff, which is great. Me personally, all my stuff is at LaughAtBrian, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. My website, which I never use. It's just, I just pay $30 a month for a domain name. And it's
this is the worst Squarespace ad ever.
Seriously. This may like your these listeners may like every month I do a comedy retro gaming night at QED in Astoria. The next one's on January 28th,
and that's awesome.
We play old crappy retro games, and we just kind of riff on them like Mystery Science Theater in a way.
That's
this
sweet.
One, yeah, the one on the 28th, we're doing crappy fighting games, and I found some gems to
play. It's going
to
be really, really
fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be super fun.
I
got to
check out one of those.
Yeah, the audience plays, the comics riff on it, and we just have a really good time. So it's 7 p.m. at QED. Go to QEDAstoria.com if you want to check that out. And listen to the podcast. You know, it's a lot of fun. There's always something. There's something for everybody. We've done so many. We've done stuff from a friggin' Asteroids pilot up until Kratos, you know, so we and all the stuff in between. So there's always something for any type of gamer to listen to, and maybe even try one you may not even thought you'd like the house cleaner from Resident Evil. It's hysterical. So
yes,
things like that, just take a chance on the episode. You'll probably like it, even if you don't like that actual game. you'll probably like the podcast, we hope.
Yeah, I would recommend that too. I mean, it's at first I pick and chose the podcasts for the games I've played and liked, but eventually, right, like, because you're just getting pure comedy right there. You should follow up on all of them because you never know what's going to be of interest to you. I should also point out that Alip Patel's at Comedian Alip on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
He hasn't been written out of the podcast yet, but we're working on it. We're looking for if you want to be part of this podcast. No, we're not doing that yet. No open auditions yet. But thank you guys for joining me, having a quick talk about who you are and what the show's about. I really hope everybody else gives it a listen. It's really quality stuff out there. And some really just eye-opening, disturbing things that you never thought you would hear from some of your favorite characters in video game lore.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.